Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, the chapter of Bali Maharaj arrested by the Lord. Text 28 to 32. Prati sutam adatuste niraye basa isyate visacha nirayantasmad guru na chanumodita prati sutam. What had been promised, adatuhu, who could not give te of you niraye in hell vasaha residence isyate prescribed visa now enter twan yourself nirayam the hellish planet Tasmat, therefore, Guruna, by your spiritual master, Cha, also, Anumoditaha, approved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Sukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. Purport. It is said, Narayanam Parasave Nakutaschana Bibhyati Swaga Pavaga Narakesu Apituyalta Darshina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the earliest planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. This is from Bhagavatam 6:17-28. A devotee engaged in the service of Narayan is always in equilibrium. A devotee actually lives transcendentally. Although he may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha, Sagunan Samatityaita, Brahma, Bhuyaya, Kalpate. Vamandev asked Bali Maharaj to go to the hellish planets. Apparently, just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. And Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee does not live alone. Of course, everyone lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because the devotee is engaged in his service, he actually does not live in any material condition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Jama Hoyata Tuyadas. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. Because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them also lives in Vaikuntha. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhattaya Tad Bhattaya Namo Nama Gyanatim Dasya Ganangana Salakaya Chakshu Pumitan Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Nama Nama Mo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pista Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedana Swami Tinamine Namaste Sasari Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sunyabadi Prasita Dishtarine Vancha kāpatrubhyas cha kripasin viva cha pati tānam pavana vebhyo vaishna vebhyo namo namah. So there are some few verses before this one, about three verses. So I will just read those and give some comments on some of them, especially the text 31, and then we deliberate on this text and purport. So text 29. Padani trini datani bhume mayan toyasuraha dvabhyam krancha maisava tritiyan upakapaya. O king of the demons, you have promised to give me three steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with two steps. Now think about where I should put my third. Text number 30. Yaba tapacha so gobi yaba indu sahadubihi yaba basati pajanyas tabati bu iyantaba. Translation. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Text 31. Padakena maya kranto bhuloka kam disha tuno swaloka ste dutiyena Pashyata Stesham Atmana. Of these possessions, with one step I have occupied Bhuloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky and all directions. And in your presence, with my second step, I have occupied the upper planetary system. Purport, Bhaisala Prabhupada. According to the Vedic description of the planetary system, all the planets move from east to west. The sun, the moon, and five other planets, such as Mars and Jupiter, orbit one after another. Vamandev, however, expanded his body and extending his steps, occupied the entire planetary system. So this is a very interesting description of how the Lord, even though he had come as a young brahmachari, as a dwarf, Vaman, but after Bali Maharaj agreed to the request of begging three steps of land, so the Lord covered the whole universe. Even though it was small, but the entire universe was all covered. You know, the Lord's his activities are always very extraordinary. His activities, they are uncommon activities. It's not something that can be duplicated or that can be imitated by any human being. Any ordinary living entities who think they can imitate or try to duplicate the activities of the Lord, so they are simply foolish, basically. So Lalokapila, he was instructing his mother He says, Satan Prashangam Mamavija Samvidu Bhavanti Rikana Rasayanankata, that my devotees, they get together, and when they get together, they discuss, they talk about my extraordinary activities. Mamavija, Mamavija mean something, you know, unimaginable. Something unimaginable. So the devotees, you know, this is the basis of Krishna Katha. Because basically, you know, when devotees, when they get together, they talk about Krishna. You know, and because Krishna's activities, they are so unusual activities, so devotees, they love to talk about these activities. And the more they talk about these activities, the more they enliven one another. And as such, what happened is that Bhavanti Rikana Arasayana Kata Tajoshana Apavagavatani Mishman, that, you know, such discussion of Krishna's activities, the Lord's activities, they are very, very pleasant to the ears. And it actually paved the way for liberation. It paved the way for freedom from this material world. You know, so that's the result of hearing Krishna Katha. And that's why the devotees, they are always free from fear. They are free from the problems that affect everyone in this material world. So which means, if you want to get yourself free, if you want to relieve yourself from the troubles of this world, just go and associate with the devotees. And hear talks about Krishna. Hear Krishna Katha, then you'll be happy. There is no other solution to the materialistic problems. This is the only solution. So the law, he performed all these common acts. Why does it? He does it only for the glorification, so that his devotees can have something to talk about. Of course, we know that yes, Bali Maharaj, he had occupied the whole universe. He had chased all the demigods from their planet. He was sitting on the throne of Indra. But Bali Maharaj, he had one very good quality, which means that he was the son, he was a great grandson of a great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. And because of that, he has immense sukriti, because he was associated with, you know, a great Mahabhagavat, a great dear devotees, you know, of the Lord. So, because of that, so when Bali Maharaj, even though he was a demon, but when Vamandev, when he came to his palace, to the place where he was performing sacrifice, so he immediately developed attraction. He developed attraction to Bali to Vamandev. What is the cause of that attraction? Because people are not just become attracted to the Lord just out of the ordinary. It's just like when Lord Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, many people saw him. Not only devotees saw him. You know, many people saw him, but they did not become devotees. They were not attracted. Just like he was on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was there. And he was in the middle of all the warriors. We're talking of millions and millions of warriors. And he was speaking to Arjun. But on that battlefield, only a few people were attracted to him. Only a few people could know that, yeah, this is Bhagavan, this is the Supreme Lord. And everyone was so surrendered to him. You know, the Pandavas, the personalities like, you know, Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Madri, you know, like that. So few people, they were attracted, but millions and millions of other people, they just saw Krishna just a, you know, just a, he just, they saw him only as the charioteer of Arjuna, as simply, you know, somebody was talking to Arjuna, somebody was directing Arjuna on the battle. Otherwise, if they all become attracted to him, nobody will fight. They will simply put down all their weapons and surrender to Bhagavan. That's okay. Let all of us worship Sri Krishna. But now, because this attraction is there only when one develops devotional sentiment. that this attraction to the Lord comes about. You know, many people come here, they have darshan of the Lord. People come every day to have darshan, but they have darshan of the Lord, it's not because they are very attracted to the Lord's form, to the Lord's activities, because they say, okay, here's the Moti, here's the Kuji, let's have some, make some pranam, let me some prayer, maybe we'll get some materialistic benefit. Whereas devotees, who are also having the same darshan, but their mentality is different. Devotees, they want to have love for the Lord, they want to, you know, render loving service to the Lord. So therefore, the devotees are very attracted to the Lord. And for such devotees, so when they hear about so many, many wonderful activities of the Lord, they become very, very happy. Bali Maharaj, so he was already attracted to the Lord, to Vamandev. He already have his attraction already. Even though there are years, the Lord again, he had begged for 3 steps of land. And he knew very well that, yes, this is the Lord, he has come. And he has simply come to take away whatever I possessed. But he was not concerned with that, because his main thing is that, yes, he has become attracted to the Lord. So when he was, okay, give me three steps of land. Bali said, of course, you can take whatever you want. But the point is that he has gained his attraction to the Lord. And that is the main criteria for anyone who wants to become a devotee of the Lord. So Bali Maharaj, he gained his attraction because he had developed devotional what we call a security, which comes about as because of his heritage, being the great grandson of Pala Maharaj. So to his devotee, so the Lord performed all these wonderful activities. So the Lord expired himself and he covered the whole universe. He covered the whole universe. So obviously when Bali saw this, he was simply, you know, very you know, he was very happy, was very, very amazed when he saw this. So with one step of land, I mean with one step he covers half the universe, and another step he covers the other half of the universe. Now the Lord has no place to put his third step of land, to put his first third step. Now the Lord is not accusing Bali Maharaj that now, Bali, you are unable to fulfill your promise because you have promised me 3 steps of land, and you know quite well that I have occupied all the planet with my body. So now, where am I going to put my third steps? So the Lord, out of out of humor, basically out of humor, is accusing Bali of being unable to fulfill his promise. It's okay now, because you have basically become a liar because you cannot fulfill your third promise. So therefore, you have to be arrested. So therefore, Bali Maharaj was arrested. He was arrested by Begaruda, and he was tied with Varuna, with the rope of Varuna. Now, you know, during Lord Krishna's Leela here in Vrindavan. So one time, all Krishna's friends, they were little boys that time. They were just like, Krishna that time was maybe 1 or 2 years old. So little boys, they came to Mother Yashoda, and they complained to Mother Yashoda that Mother Yashoda, Krishna had been eating dirt. That Krishna had eaten dirt, so maybe you should chastise him. So the Mother Yashoda called Krishna. He said, can I your friend has complained that you've been eating dirt. Is that true? So Krishna said, no, that is not true. This is just a conspiracy against me, because my friend, they want to eat more ladus, so they all conspire against each other and lying about me that I've eaten dirt. So Mother Yashoda said, okay, let me see your mouth. Open your mouth, let me see your mouth. So Krishna opened his mouth to his mother. And when he opened his mouth to his mother, so his mother, she looked into the mouth. But what did she see? She saw the entire universe. She saw the entire universe. She saw all the planetary systems within the mouth of Krishna. Even though Krishna was only a little boy, you know, he was only, you know, just 2 years old, very little child. But Mother Yashoda saw everything within the mouth of Krishna, the whole universe, all the planet system, with all the demigods, and the sun, the moon, and the star, everything was there. She even saw Vrindavana, she even saw herself looking into the mouth of Krishna. So Mother Yashoda, she became amazed that, oh, what is this? What am I seeing? What am I seeing? And then she started thinking that maybe my son is Narayan, you know. Somehow the Aishwarya bath comes into play. Because normally the Lord manifests his activities, his grandness, his grandeur from it with his Aishwarya Shakti. Whereas the loving relationship that he has with his Braja Bhaktas is in his Madhurya bath. But so when Mother Yashoda saw this, she started thinking that, oh, who am I thinking? I'm thinking that this Krishna is my son. Probably maybe it's Narayan or something. But as she was thinking this way, Krishna realized that, this is not good for bride. And I immediately withdrew this Aishwarya Shakti. He immediately withdrew it. And Mother Yashoda, then she snapped out of thinking that maybe Krishna is God. Maybe I'm seeing these visions, maybe Krishna has been attacked by some ghost or something. Therefore, I'm seeing all these visions, you know, within Krishna's mouth. And then she started calling all the brahmanas that they need to come and perform some sacrifice, just chant some mantras, tantras, just to ward off any form of evil influence on Krishna. So this is the thought. So therefore, sometimes the Lord, you know, he manifests, he shows his extraordinary activities like this, you know, to his devotees, so that devotees, they can have more enthusiasm in their devotional activities toward the Lord. This is the Lord's desire. So in these verses that we are reading, so the Lord, even though he's already pleased with Bali, he's pleased with him that yes, Bali, he had rejected the advice of his guru, and he had basically because his guru told him that Don't give anything to this boy. Don't give anything to this brahmana. But Bali said, no, I cannot follow your advice. After all, there is a brahmana who have come to beg something from me, and I've given my word to him that yes, even though it may be Vishnu, so let be it. Because yes, Vishnu is the enemy of the demons. And Vishnu only acts on behalf of the demigods. So Bali, yes, he knows this. So yes, he may be Vishnu himself, but I've given my word, so therefore I cannot follow your advice. So basically Bali, he rejected whatever the advice his guru was giving. So of course, as it said in the scriptures, if a guru turned out not to be a proper guru anymore, in the sense that becoming antagonistic to devotional principles, then such a guru can be rejected. So which means there are provisions of rejecting one's spiritual master. Even though a spiritual master it should never be rejected under any circumstance, but there are provisions there by which a guru may be rejected. So the Lord is telling Bali that, look, all these planets, you know, everything here, this is all possessed by this, all owned by this, all your properties. These are your properties. Everything is all your property. You know, the heavenly planet, especially the heavenly planet. The specific word used there his swallow cast it, which he said that this is your own thing, this is your own place. But all this place I have occupied. Now, when the Lord was telling Bali that these are your own properties. This is your own possession. Now, what was at that moment Bali's mentality? What was he thinking? What was Bali thinking at that moment? What is a devotee's mentality? Does a devotee ever think that something actually belongs to him? So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had composed a very wonderful prayer in this circumstance. He had posed a very nice prayer here. Bastuta Sakalitaba Jiva Kehono Ya Aham Brahma Brahme Brahmin Bhagreso Kabo Yam Aham Mama Abhimana Aima Trodana Bhadra Jivani Jaboli Jani Mani Mana Seyi Abhimani Amin Samsare Puriyam Abudu Bukai Baba Sindhu Santariyam Tomara Boya Pade Loya Sarana Ajiyami Kori Lama Atmani Bedana. In truth, all things belong to you. No jiva is owner of anything. The tiny soul wanders in this world, mistakenly thinking, I am this transitory body, and everything related to this body is mine. Thus, he suffers sorrow and fear. The conditioned soul is falsely proud and considers everything attached to the world, I am mine, to be his treasures alone. Due to that same vanity, I fell into this world, floundering in the ocean of mundane existence like a drowning man. I suffer the pangs of rising and sinking in that ocean. I take shelter at your lotus feet, which are word fearlessness, and dedicate myself to you on this day. The vanity of I am mine has left me now. May it never again find a place within my heart. Oh Lord, please give me the strength that I may be able to keep the false conceptions of I am mine far away. May the mood of self-surrender to the Supreme Lord remain firmly fixed in my heart and not prove to be like the momentary cleanliness of an elephant after a bath. Bhaktivinoda begs at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda for the grace which delivers one from false pride. So basically, out of false pride, we think that I have possessed this, I have possessed that. But when one becomes a devotee, if eventually gives up all kinds of false conception of thinking, this is mine, I've possessed that. So of course the demons think this way, but devotees never think that way, because in reality what belongs to us? Nothing belongs to us, but out of false conception we think that everything belongs to us. So Bali Maharaj mentality is that, what the Lord is saying, nothing belongs to me. Due to the influence of time, something has come into my possession. According to the influence of time. And by the influence of the same time, the same thing has been taken away. Just like when Bali, when he was instructing his demoniac friends, because they were fighting, they wanted to fight with Lord Varnam, because they saw that their leader, he had been arrested by the Lord, So they wanted to fight. So Bali is telling them that, look, this is not right now. Time is not on your side. Time is not on your side now. So why? So if you try to fight, you're simply going to lose everything. So better you just go away. When the time was on our side, we were victorious. But now the time is now on the side of the demigod. And what is time? The time is Krishna. Krishna said, "Time I am, Kalos me." He said, "Time I am." So the Lord is time. So therefore, devotees, they do not waste their time trying to maintain any form of false misconception. They do not waste their time. They simply want to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and simply render loving service unto Him. So therefore, this is what we call the self-surrender, which epitomized by Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. We have 12 Mahajans, and Bali Maharaj is one of them. Bali, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu. What is the third line? Kumara Kapilo Manu. Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Bali Bayasake Vayam. So Yamaraj was talking to his followers this way. He said there are 12 authorities, and starting from Lord Brahma. And he said Bali Bayasake Vayam. He said that Bali Maharaj, Sukadev Goswami, and myself, we are the authority. They are the Mahajans. So Mahajans, they show the way. They show the way of surrender. They show the way on how to cross the path of this material world. Because this material world, especially when one develops the inclination to serve the Supreme Lord, it's full of so many, many, the path is full of rocks and pebbles and stones, so many, many things this way. So how do you cross over, how do you walk across the path that is full of stones, that is full of pebbles? How do you walk across without getting hurt? But there must be someone who had walked the path before. Somebody who had walked the path before, and they know how to maneuver. They know how to maneuver the path so that you don't get hurt by it. So therefore, if you follow them nicely, if you follow that person nicely who has crossed the path before, then you yourself you'll be successful. Otherwise, if you don't pay attention to the person, then you will get affected, you will get hurt. So therefore, Mahajana Yanagata Sapanta, that yes, we have to follow the full step of the Mahajan. They show us how the process of surrender to the Supreme Lord. So this is the thing. If you follow them, ultimately we will become successful. So the Lord is not telling Bali that because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Sukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. So the consequence of not fulfilling the order is to go to the hellish planet. And this is what the Lord is saying. The Lord is condemning Bali to go down to the hellish planet, apparently to go and suffer there. But that is not the Lord's intention, because a devotee is never met with any difficulty. In the Bhagavad Gita, in many, many places, Lord Krishna told Arjuna that my devotee never faced any Once a devotee, when someone accepts the Lord's footstep, the devotees are never put into difficulty. So in this verse, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, he had made a comment. He made his comment on this verse as follows. So, when the Lord was telling Bali that he has been unable to fulfill his promise, so Bali said, "What shall I do if I cannot fulfill my promise? What shall I do?" So the Lord said, "You should live in hell." The Lord now speaks to show to the world the steadiness and pure bhakti of Bali. Because when the Lord told Bali that you should go to the hell, actually the Lord simply want to test how tolerant and submissive Bali is. It's just his story. Okay, you have to go and live in the hell. So the Lord said in hell, and of course the Sukracharya had also said this, that you're going to lose everything, and as a result of disobeying my order, you're going to go to hell for that also. Because if you disobey the order of the guru, what happened to you? You go to hell. So spiritual life is full of, it's like a resource edge. Is that spiritual life is a resource edge? You know, if it's not properly done, one can always get caught. Just like we men, you know, we shave our face practically every morning. If you're shaving, you don't pay any attention. When you're shaving, you don't pay attention, you can get caught. You know, that's the reality. So in spiritual life, if guru is not followed properly, the tendency is that there's a consequence for that, for disobeying the order, for not properly obeying the spiritual master. So the Lord said that your guru, I said that you have to go to hell. So the Lord is saying, this is the Vishnu Chakravarti, this is what he's saying. He said, you can ask your learned guru whether what I now say is reasonable or not. Actually, since even a person with bhakti abhas should not go to hell just for breaking your promise, you also cannot go to hell. So thus, please go and leave to my abode, Vaikuntha. Now, the Lord said now that actually, the earliest planet which was being prescribed for Bali, it's not really an earliest planet in a Sutta Loka. And that earliest planet is actually much more wonderful than the heavenly planets. It's a much more wonderful place, much more glorious than the heavenly planet. So the Lord said, "Now I'm ordering you to enter my special place, provided by me. After your position there, and then after your position there is finished, I will have you enter Vaikuntha." Now the Lord is not saying, though you disregard your guru, because you know he's opposed to me, I understand that he has lost his discrimination out of great affection for you. He's also dear to me. Therefore, go with him to Sutala. So this is very, very interesting here, whereby the Lord said that actually Sukracharya is also dear to me. Now we may say that Sukracharya is the guru of the demons. And the demons, they are opposed to Bhagavan, they are opposed to Vishnu, but the Lord said that Sukracharya is dear to him. And who is Sukracharya? Sukracharya is an expansion of Lord Shiva. It's Lord Shiva's expansion. But Lord Shiva, he has a very, very unique way of sometimes going against the Lord in this material world. This of course, due to affection for the followers. Due to affection for the followers, sometimes this personality, they do things which sometimes become an amaze to the devotees. Just like in the 10th canto Bhagavatam, during the marriage of Usha and Iruda, that this demon, what's his name? Banasu. Banasu was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He had 1,000 arms. But you know, he was very, very angry because you know Aniruddha he had kidnapped his daughter, marry her, you know, Gandhava marriage. So Aniruddha, so Banasura, he waged a big war, you know, with Lord Krishna, and because Banasura is a great devotee of Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva fought on the side of of Banasura. So, of course, you know, eventually Banasura was defeated. All his sons were all cut off by Lord Vishnu, except four. And so then the fight is a big fight, which we read about, you know, Narayeshwara, Shivaeshwara, they all fighting with one another. But eventually, Banasura was saved because he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So sometimes great personalities, because of the great affections they sometimes have for their followers, sometimes they go against the laws. They go against the Lord. This is due to affection which sometimes they have for their followers. There was one time, Anuma, he was there was one fellow who was very, very rude to Lord Ram. This fellow was very rude to Lord Ram, and Lord Ram wanted to kill him. So Lord Ram wanted to kill him. So this person knew that Lord Ram was coming to kill him. So this fellow, he went to Anuma. He said, "My dear Anumaji, I want you to give me a promise. Please, I want to promise me something." So Anuma said, "Promise for what?" Just some promise. I said, okay, I will, okay, I promise. Okay, what do you want? He said, okay, I want you to give me protection. I want you to protect me from anything. So Anuma said, okay, I will protect you, I'll give you protection under any circumstance. So knowing this, so this fellow was going, and this was going, and Anuma was going in front. So all of a sudden, Lord Ram was coming. So when Lord Ram coming, and the Lord Ram know that this fellow must be killed, so Anuma, he realized that this fellow had played a trick on him, you know, begging for his promise to protect him, and he didn't know that it was Lord Ram who was coming to kill him, but he had given his promise. So Anuma, so he stood before Lord Ram. He said, "Well, my dear Lord, either you have to kill me first before you can kill this fellow, you know, or give up your anger." So even though Anuma was put in a perplexing situation, so when Lord Ram saw this, he said that, "Well, you know, this fellow, you are taking shirt off my devotee." So the Lord, he gave up his anger. So this fellow, his life was saved. He was spared this way. So some of these activities, some of these pastime, sometimes it may be difficult for us to really understand, and that's why the Lord's activity are very difficult to understand by our ordinary intelligence. Difficult to understand. Because the Lord, he has a special rights with his devotees. He has a very special relationship with devotees. Our devotees sometimes they perform the activities, even though sometimes maybe to be opposed to the Lord, you know, it's just another aspect of the affection that is there between the Lord and his devotees. So I'm going to stop here because time is going. So it's a very, very interesting chapter and topic of this discussion of Bali Maharaj. And it says surrender to the Supreme Lord. So is there any question or comment? Yeah.
Thanks, Guru.
Hare Krishna.
For all of the senses.
Hare Krishna.
As you said, Bali Maharaj was great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So there was already sympathies there.
Yeah.
So, in case of Bhagavad Gita, the listener was Arjun, and in case of Srimad Bhagavatam, listener was Parikshit Maharaj. Both are from same family. He was a grandson of Arjun. Mm-hmm. So, how can we understand that if we are not from a familiar big personality, So is it possible to advance us in bhakti?
Yes, yeah, of course. It has been said that the family of pure devotees, like 21 generations in the past and 21 generations in the future, they all get, you know, liberation. They all get benefit. And also the pure devotees, he mentioned 100 families in the past and 100 families in the future. They all get, you know, benefit. Which means the secret is always there when one becomes a devotee. You know, so which means you benefit your family and also the previous generation, and then in the future the generations also, you also get benefit if you become devotees. So there is a section in the Bhagavatam, no, I think in the Bhagavatamrita, when it was being described that when a devotee is going to the spiritual world, the demigod, they hold a big festival. They say, oh, how wonderful this person, he has attained this exalted position. They hold a big festival, they play drums when they say devotee going to the spiritual world. Like that.
Yeah. One more question is that, as you said, Sankaracharya is an expansion of Shiva. So yeah. He says Shiva is a Yathasambhu, is a supreme Vishnu. So how can he be against Vishnu, Lord Vamadeva?
Yeah, because this is part of the administration of this material world. Because this material world, there's always have to be demons and demigods. This is how it's always been since the beginning. This is how the material world goes on. The demonic element has to be there, and the demigods aspect also have to be there. And the demons, they need guidance. The guidance is Lord Shiva comes in the form of Shukracharya, so he's guiding the demigods. I mean, he's guiding the demons. Even though he himself is a devotee, but he has been given that position to guide the demons. It's just like Lord Shiva came as Shukracharya. He came as Shukracharya and preached a Mahavad. Then why did he come? Because he was ordered by the Lord to go. He said, you go to the people in Kali Yuga and make people averse to me. So which means, it's not, the Lord himself created a situation whereby people can become averse to him. This shows that's why they say that and bhakti sudula, bhakti to Krishna is extremely rare. And why bhakti is very, because bhakti is very rare, so therefore the Lord does not always give bhakti, he does not easily give bhakti. So therefore he gives you a chance to become demon. And then you have a guidance being a demon. Because when someone becomes a devotee of the Lord also becomes servant of his own devotee. And the Lord doesn't always want that. So therefore, you're in the material world, sometimes you're a demon in the material world. Sometimes you're a demon and sometimes you're a demigod. This is the way. This is the Lord's own creation, the Lord's own situation. Yeah, okay. Another point? Another person? Yeah, he has a question.
Someone had told me that the Lord can cover himself with yoga maya so that it creates some kind of religious like a where he doesn't know what is the Lord is going to offer.
No. He performed activities with his yoga maya and he doesn't cover himself. But he let his activities go into play, whereby he apparently become like forgetful and perform some leelas, so that devotees chastise him and like that. This is it's because the lost energy, they always is servants. They come to his service based on the needs where there's a need for it. The Lord, he has his energy like yoga maya, especially yoga maya, to play certain roles when there is a need for it. However, the underlying aspect of it is the love that is there. It is the prem that is there between the Lord and his devotees. That is the underlying principles that is there. Okay, thank you very much. Grantarashma Bhagavatam ki. Sila Prabhupada ki. Go up in Mananda. Hare Krishna.